Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, I just wanted to say good morning once again, everybody. Welcome to Living Waters. Glad that you are part of the house today. Courageous, moving through the blinding snowstorm this morning. You just need to know that because you're so courageous, you know, there is a double portion of blessing upon you for being in the house of the Lord today. You're going to have an amazing week, so you can look forward to that. Well, as you walked in today and you looked in the lobby up above, you would have seen some flags there. We have some banners here, and all of it to remind you that we are this Sunday and next Sunday talking about and celebrating global work and how that works with us as a community. And so our hope for this Sunday and next Sunday is for us to get even a deeper grasp of our value of moving forward with the Great Commission, reaching those who are in need of Christ, and also a deeper understanding of our partnership with the 12 different global workers that we support, who range here from our backyard, literally in Burnaby, to around the world. I'm going to begin by just going back to some of the things that Leanne was talking about in her message last week out of Mark 5, because it really provided a great sort of launching pad for us as we move into global work. Mark tells us of a man possessed by an evil spirit that had completely overtaken him. He lives in a cemetery. He's often naked, and he cuts himself with rocks. And in his madness, this guy has got some superhuman strength. So anything that's used to bind him up, he breaks free from that. And as Leanne spoke last week, she said, like, Jesus he jumped in a boat and he heads across the Sea of Galilee to help this guy, this broken man. This broken man is Jesus' sole objective, which I think is so cool, because it reminds us of God's love for us as individuals. He was his sole objective. And so he arrives and he finds this guy filled with evil spirits under the single name of Legion. And in real short order, Jesus sends them out of the man and into a herd of pigs who make this beeline for this steep hillside, and then they jump into the waters of the lake and they drown. The story is really quite bizarre and amazing in its own right. But I'll tell you what's even more amazing, and really the point of that account, is what happens to the man. After the encounter with Jesus, Mark records him as sitting fully clothed. He's perfectly sane, and there has been this complete kind of 180 from his years of black and broken living. This was a man that was so wrecked, so lost, that no one but the Son of God could reach him. And he did. And he did. So Mark chapter 5 presents a beautiful and a powerful story of redemption, of the broken being made whole, of the dead in spirit being brought back to life. Jesus doing something new in the life of a man who was every day dying in his old self. So redemption is our global work theme this year. It's about Jesus doing something new, something brand new in lives. It's about Jesus restoring what has been lost. It's about life breaking through dry and hard ground that in itself has form, but it lacks any hope at all. It's in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 43, that we find a promise of redemption, which really serves to give us the wording for this year's theme, which is, "See, I'm doing something new." In the previous chapter of Isaiah, God, through his prophet, is really expressing some concern on how far his people have wandered from him. The people of Israel had continued to walk apart from their God in their sin. And they've faced consequences time and time again, which have included now being exiled to Babylon. And Isaiah says in part in Isaiah 42, beginning verse 23, Who will hear these lessons from the past and see the ruin that awaits you in the future? Who allowed Israel to be robbed and hurt? It was the Lord against whom we sinned, for the people would not walk in his path, nor would they obey his law. Well, this, of course, is not the first time in Israel's history that God's people had been held to account for their disobedience. And it would not be the last time that Yahweh, through his infinite grace and love, would provide a way forward for his lost people. Redemption, he promises, is not far off. And so the prophet of the Most High says at the beginning of chapter 43, verse 1, "But now, O Jacob, listen, the Lord who created you, O Israel, the one who formed you, says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine.'" And so then it's in Isaiah 43, verse 19, that he gives the nation of Israel this clear hope during their captivity in Babylon by promising them deliverance. And his message from God for them was this, from Isaiah: "For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." See, just as God had delivered his people from the brutal hands of the Egyptians, he's also going to deliver them from their captivity in Babylon. And he, once again, he's going to come and save them despite their disobedience. He hears their plea. And he's about to chart a course for them through the wilderness and bring new life, just like a river brings life to a dry wasteland. He's done it before, and he's going to do it again through something new. Well, you know, throughout the Bible, it records God our Father as a redeemer. You know, the pages of Scripture are just full of examples of God redeeming that which has been lost, exchanging hopelessness for hope, brokenness for healing, emptiness for fullness, and death for life. From the beginning to right now, human existence is punctuated with these powerful stories of God the Father drawing a broken people to himself and making them new, just like you and me. And while these passages in Isaiah reference a time in ancient Israel's history, they are prophetic in nature, and so they apply to us. Because we too have been a people who have turned against the Lord in our past, in our sin, and faced ruin in our future because we did not walk a path with God that was close nor obeyed his laws until we found Jesus. But today, the promise of God remains the same for us as it does for all people. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. From the very beginning of time, Jesus was to be God's final act of redemption. The Father would send his Son to break the cycle of separation between himself and the people that he created. And so in the ultimate exchange, Jesus took on our brokenness, our sin, so that our relationship with God would move from being shattered to being restored through Jesus. God the Father made a pathway through our own private broken wilderness, and he brought living water to our dry and thirsty souls. And so Isaiah provides this powerful imagery that speaks of God's answer to the separation between the created and the creator. And then Mark's account of the man possessed by evil spirits shows us a God who is willing to come where we live, to pursue us, and to bring us from spiritual death to life, something new. To each one who does not know Jesus personally and will listen, God the Father says, "I am about to do something new. In fact, I have already made a new way. Don't you see it? My Son will make a pathway for you. No matter what your wilderness is, he will create rivers in the dry wastelands of your life." That is an amazing promise of redemption. And we know this. The Lord's desire to do something new in lives is global in its reach. Scripture makes it clear that his desire is that none would be lost. None would find themselves at the end of their lives without having been restored, the opportunity for restoration or being redeemed. That's why Jesus came, to save the lost. And that desire is reflected in our responsibility as a community to global work. We're called to participate, you and I, in God's global strategy to reach those who are far from him. And that assignment, I think, is reflected well in one of our seven core values here at Living Waters, which is our value of the Great Commission. And this is what it says. We are a people who understand the church is not limited by its building or by a street address. The church is us, and we are called to reach beyond our walls and impact the lives of those who are far from God who live there. We see the sphere of our influence ranges from our backyard to our world. We are passionate about the gospel that sets us free. That's our value. That's the value here at Living Waters. The assignment of sharing the gospel, it's cool. It's a cooperative one. See, God has chosen to make us partners in this life-giving enterprise. You know, as he prayed to his Father, Jesus said this about his disciples in John 17. He said, "Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world." And then when Jesus ascended to heaven, it was with our assignment firmly in place in Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And when Jesus went to heaven, it was also with this promise for you and I of empowerment of the Holy Spirit to enable us to get on with the job, to complete the mission, to do the things that we have been assigned to do. Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so our Great Commission value, it makes it clear that in order to reflect the gospel and Jesus' assignment, the practice of our faith has got to take us beyond these walls and into the living places of those who have not yet heard or who do not yet accept the good news of Jesus Christ. We carry out that assignment ourselves within the sphere of our family and our friends and our co-workers and those who are around us. And we also carry out that assignment far from here through supporting and holding up the arms of the global workers that we support here through Living Waters, who are themselves out there today sharing the good news of Jesus, of God's promise of something new. You see, we do it together as the body of Christ. You know, this picture that we're using, let's just put that up. This is the picture that we're using behind our graphics. And really, the idea here is to help us tell a redemptive story. You can see there that the ground is dry and it's hard and it's cracked. It really is inhospitable to life. But then breaking through from that dry and broken place is a new thing. It's a new thing. It's the life that Jesus desires to start in every man, woman, and child on this planet. It's a new thing. And we are encouraged to share via a personal invitation, whether through our own relationships or by extension through the relationships of global workers around the world, this invitation to those that they know and that we know to meet Jesus. So whether we're here or we're supporting global workers halfway around the globe in our assignment, the elements of the message to the pre-believer are the same. God desires to do something new in you. Jesus is already here. Today is the day of salvation. Let him enter your life and make a pathway through your wilderness. Let him give you living water. That's the message of the Great Commission. And that is part of our assignment, part of our responsibility. I'm always challenged by Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. So our prayer this morning, our deep hope this morning, is that we would be, as our name suggests, that we would be the purveyor of living water, and that we would see life rising up in our neighborhoods and in the places that we work, our schools, and around the globe. Because Jesus has begun this new work in thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Well, in the time that remains, I just want to do two things. First, I want to briefly introduce you to the global workers that we support here at Living Waters. And then I want to talk a little bit about a vehicle that will help to allow us to partner in holding up the arms of global workers. Now, before we do that, I'd like anybody who is in this room today that has been a global worker or is a global worker just to stand up. I'd like to see where you are. Come on. There's Lynn over there, over here. Yes, this is good. Good. Well, you know... Yeah, anybody else? Come on. Chloe, you've been there. Come on. This is good. You guys are champions. Well done. We appreciate you. I want to recognize you because you're part of this great commission, this reaching out, this touching lives around the world. As I said, we support 12 different global workers here. 8 of them are based overseas, and 4 of them are based here in Canada. 2 of them work in restricted access nations, and we'll talk about that in a moment. First of all, let's look at Brett and Natalie, who are as far away as Burnaby, British Columbia. And they of course, are the pastors of the church that we have planted, now called City Lights. And they're doing an amazing work there. They're breaking through some dry and hard ground, which was identified right at the very beginning. It's not been easy in their neighborhood. Churches around them have been closing down and moving on to other faith expressions. But here we have City Lights flying the flag of Christ in Burnaby, B.C., and touching the lives of many, many people. They do their service at 10 o'clock on Sunday, so they're about an hour in. If you ever have an opportunity to go, we encourage you to do that. So we support Brett and Natalie as our church planters in Burnaby. Next, we have John and Nancy Engels. They are with UCM, or University Campus Ministry. John gives leadership to that area, and it's all about encouraging students, post-secondary students, on in terms of community and their life with Christ and leading others to find Jesus. This really is an amazing work, and frankly, it's a pretty quiet work. We don't hear a lot about it, but there are campus pastors all around in universities, and they are touching and changing lives. And so we have an affinity for those who are in post-secondary education. We have many students who attend here at Living Waters, so this connection for us is pretty natural, and we love supporting John and Nancy in that. Darcy and Leanne McAllister, like, who in the world are they? Well... You know, Darcy and Leanne, of course, have been a part of Living Waters, as I said, for many years now. And they also work with international missions for the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And Darcy is the personnel and family director. And in his role in international missions, he helps to identify potential global workers. He helps to assess them and train them and then and provide care for them. And that's something that Leanne partners with Darcy in. And over the recent years, frankly, he wouldn't say this, but I would, since Darcy has taken on this role, there have been many, 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 many new global workers around this globe. And so he does an awesome job. Darcy and Leanne travel a lot. That's why sometimes we don't see them here. And they are investing in the lives of global workers, helping to counsel them and encourage them on and so on. And part of their role is to raise funds for themselves. And so we help doing that by supporting them. So awesome stuff. David and Henny Thormaset have been in the Cameroon and just last month arrived back in Canada in Calgary to be with their family. They're going to be living here for some time. They've been in Cameroon since the year 2006, working with Wycliffe and translating the Bible. And they have been working with the Mumpong people. I can never say that right because it's not spelled the way I would say it. And they've been really working diligently with this group, raising up local leaders to take on their Bible translation ministry. Amazing things have happened. If you ever get a chance to talk to them about some of the stories of how God's Word has impacted lives that are lost, these guys have got the story. So as I say, they're back in Calgary to be with their family. They're there in a year of transition, and we're going to be helping them continue to help them that way. Alexei and Tanya Pankov live in a land that looks very much like ours today, in Siberia. They are in the region of Altai. They are involved in church planting. They teach English. They've been involved in a local orphanage. They've been involved in ministry training as well. This is a dynamic young couple, which we've had here actually sharing with us, which has been so good. They've just adopted a young lad. His name is Dima, and they are really making some incredible inroads in a very dry spot that has got all sorts of darkness about it. So we think these guys are heroes. Joseph and Ellen Annenby from the Dominican Republic. They've been ministering there for many years, and this community has always been there to support them. They're involved in a new church plant called Deep River Church. We have sent a couple of teams to the Dominican and have helped out with that. This is a great couple. They have amazing stories. They also direct a Saturday Bible school, which helps to provide training for those who've never really had formal studies. They are getting on in years, but I'll tell you, if I could have half their energy, I would be a happy camper. They are really amazing, so we're always happy to support Joseph and Ellen. Joel and Avon Reimer are in Cambodia. They have just settled in Phnom Penh, and they're there learning the language. Joel already knows that. He has been a church planter from way back in Cambodia, and he is going to plant, he and Avon, another church. And so that's what they're looking forward to doing and raising up local and national leadership there, which is cool. You watch this young couple, by the way. They are amazing. I don't use the word on fire very often, but I would say these guys have got a bit of flame. I'll tell you, they really are quite amazing. They just had a baby, actually, in the summertime, so it's really cool. They're in Cambodia. Sarah and Christo Emmanuel from India. We've had both Sarah and Christo here. What an incredible couple they are with three children now, three girls, right? Just amazing couple. Their work in Chennai, India began on the rooftop, I think of his father's house, and they kind of built a structure on top of that. That was going to be the beginning of their church. Now they've got this other big church that they've built, and they've got church plants happening, and people are coming to Christ. They're baptizing people all of the time. They're having crusades. I mean, this is an amazing, vibrant work in a very dark place, and yet God is breaking through, and he's using this young couple. Man, oh man, one day I'm going to get there, because I personally want to see what's happening there, but it is incredible. Their dream is to see thousands come to Jesus. They're well on their way. They're well on their way. So we support Sarah and Christo. Danielle and Jeff Schneider, our very own, are moving off to Bangladesh. Jeff and Daniel were just married recently right here at Living Waters, and their plan is to work with the children and youth. Both are very gifted, and they've got talents that way, and so they're going to use that training to gain entry into schools and to minister that way through communities. We're excited for what they will do. Sheldon and Anna Armitage are in Slovakia, and they've been serving in Slovakia and Eurasia since about 2002. They do three things particularly. The first is that Sheldon is pastoring at the Bratislava International Fellowship. He's just taken that on in the last few months, and things are going along very well. He also serves as the Assistant Regional Director for Eurasia Now, and their focus is to kind of empower local global workers, start up new projects, and get collaborations going, that kind of thing. And the final thing that they're doing is they're serving on the core team of the European Freedom Network, which is a network of about 120 different entities fighting against human trafficking and sexual exploitation in Europe, which is a powerfully important work. So that's Sheldon and Anna Armitage. Aaron and Rebecca, they have also both been here and just recently serving in a restricted access nation, meaning that we can't tell you the name of the nation in which they serve or identify them by using their last name because they could be in big trouble if we did. But they are a brave, courageous young couple who are working amongst university students now. They're working with the underground church, and we need to pray for them. And just know that we need to pray for them. But this is a courageous couple. It really is. Jonathan and Vera, they also are serving in a restricted access nation, and they are a new name to many of you. We used to support Jonathan and Vera numbers of years ago. They left the mission field for more training, and now they're back at it on the mission field, serving as global workers. And we thought that one of the best ways we could introduce them to you is by having them sending a video. And so this is the video they prepared for us. We consider Jonathan and Vera to live in a semi-restricted access nation, and so you won't hear us using their last names again publicly. They did identify their country in this video, but in terms of our podcast, that will be cut out because things are not easy where they live, and there are certainly dangers that they face. So we need to continue to pray for them, but excited to have them on board with us as global workers. Pretty cool stuff. So when I look at these global workers that we are supporting here, I look at that list and I think they're outstanding. And I can't help but think of the words of Scripture we just read. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. They have been called by Jesus to do what it is that they're doing. They're taking on their responsibility, their assignment, and we also have this opportunity to come alongside and to help to kind of lift up the arms of those who are following what Jesus has called them to do, to see Jesus redeem a lost world. Many, if not all of them, face hard soil. It's not easy, and sometimes it's just downright dangerous. But God has called them, and they are there, and they have said yes. Yes. And so today, I'm going to ask you to consider saying yes. And in our case, in saying yes to providing support for those who have committed their here and now to serving the Lord as a global worker. I'm going to ask our host team if they would pass out some cards for you now. You know, one of the core values that we have here at Living Waters is generosity, and it is key to who we are. Generosity doesn't always have to be a financial reflection. We are generous in a variety of ways, in how we treat others and are giving in other ways. But when it comes to global work, our generosity is often best reflected in the context of today financially. It's an important thing that we can do because God has blessed us so that we can bless others. Now, let me just say that again, just as we're looking at those cards. God has blessed us so that we can bless others. And that is a part of the beauty of living in this country and in this in North America. Generosity. Let me just tell you what we do on a month-to-month basis, and then I'm going to explain the card. Every month, the missionaries that we saw here receive from us, from Living Waters, a check for $425 every month. Every month. City Lights, which is our church plant, we're committed to supporting them. We've been doing that over 3 years. And as they become self-sufficient, the level of our support decreases, so we can give that money elsewhere. And the good news is that they're getting to be self-supporting, which is awesome because God is growing the church. But this year, we continue to support them probably about twice the amount that we provide, so about $800 a month or so for City Lights, and that helps them along. Through the year, we also provide support for our global workers in a couple of other areas. One of the things that we love to do is that at Christmas time, we set aside $1,000 for each one, and we send them off a check for $1,000 in November. It's just a help for them at Christmas time, and it's deeply appreciated. Often, our global workers find themselves in a spot of trouble, and they can't find a way out of it, and so we come alongside and help. And that has ranged from everything from purchasing a laptop and getting it over there for them to helping them in health crises where they've needed to have some financial help that way. And so we stand ready to serve them, and they know we're there for them. We partner with them that way. We also, in our global work budget, set aside every year $10,000 to help us build a well somewhere in the world. So far, this community has built 3 wells, 2 of them in Africa, and there's a water system in India I'll tell you about in a moment. 2 of them in Africa. Burkina Faso serves an entire village, which is amazing. And we also have built a well for the Village of Hope in Zimbabwe that serves a church of 500 and an elementary school and a secondary school with 600 students. So we've done that. Living Waters has done that, which is very cool. We have also partnered in building a clean water system in the Bihar province of India. And now we doubled the amount that we normally give to $20,000. We joined other partners in Canada who have helped with this project, which now sits on a 22-acre site. There's a training area and all of that sort of thing. And this clean water system now serves over 5,000 people. We've been a huge part of that, which is awesome. Now, the fourth well that we are currently helping to complete, which is from our funds last year, is in the village of Kiro, which is in northern Kenya, and there's some pictures of it. The conditions there are severe. Water is not available unless it's trucked in. They have an emergency in-school feeding program that's been underway now for about a year, feeding preschool kids who are severely malnourished. But because of the lack of water, the program has encountered times where they've been unable to prepare the high-protein meals for kids. So drinking water will not only enable the school to function, but also will serve the families who live in the village. It's going to help them with proper food preparation, able to grow small garden plots, that kind of thing. And they figure about 500 people are going to be affected by this well. And so we've already paid for it. It's already ready to go, and once conditions permit, it's going to be built. But that's something that we have done and done alone here at Living Waters, which is cool. Here's the next thing that we're looking at, because God always has a new thing. This there's something pretty cool about this, and it is to provide a water well in Honduras. It's a significant project, this one. It is about $30,000, we think, and we're going to provide you some more details soon. But it is a well that would be in an impoverished location of one of the poorest areas in the country, and they desperately need well water. This is a very dark space or place where this is at. Now, Darcy and Leanne are actually going to go to Honduras at the end of this month, and they'll be investigating the site for us and coming back with more information. But I'll tell you what, when you think about what we can do with global workers and how we are able to provide clean drinking, fresh drinking water that provides life, I'll tell you, that gets my engines turning. It really does. It's something that we can do together. God has blessed us so that we can bless others. If you want to take a look at that card that's in your hand right now, this is a vehicle that we've used for a number of years, and it's a pledge card. And really, what I'd like you to do is this. I'd like you to take this card home. Don't fill it out today, but I would like you to pray this week. Number one, pray for our global workers. Pray for them. They need our prayers every day. Second, pray and ask the Lord what it is that you might be able to do to support them, to come by them and hold up their arms. We provide support on a monthly basis for our global workers. So I'd like to encourage you to do what Lynn and I do, and that's every year we pray and we make a fresh commitment to our global workers on a monthly basis, and that's what we do. And this is over and above our tithe. This is just our giving. It's like an offering. And so I'd like you to consider what that might be for you. Let me just say this. Because sometimes, you know, people will come to a church, and if you're new here, you think, oh, here they are talking about money. We don't talk about money here very often, and most of us will attest to that fact. In fact, you notice that we don't have an offering plate anymore. There's not an offering bag that goes by, and we don't talk about the offering in the vast majority of our services because we all understand our commitments to tithe, and this community is doing an amazing job doing that. But in the context of this, we're not shy at all to talk about supporting these global workers, because the finances we're talking about, we may think about them in terms of dollars, but I'll tell you what, I think about them in terms of souls won to Christ, about the restoration of life new life. And so I'd really like you to consider this. Think about what it is that God would have you do. And for some of us, it may mean giving something up this year to help support them. But I'll tell you what, this is valuable work that they're doing. And they're doing it really, in a sense, on our behalf as we work out our Great Commission here and what that looks like. So pray about this. Think about what God would have you do. And then come this coming week and just put that in the giving box. And then the following week, we'll kind of give you an update as to where we're at. Last year, our community raised about $115,000 for global work. This year, our dream, our hope is to raise $130,000 for global work. And we can do it. God has been growing his church, and he's blessing us. We can do this. We can do it. I don't know about you, but that well in Honduras has got me thinking. And it's more than what we typically do, but the need is huge. We can do it. Why don't you stand up, everybody? Let me pray as we dismiss today. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives and for your generosity to us. And, Lord, we recognize together today the call that you have placed upon your church, the Great Commission call. Father, help us as a community to go beyond these walls and to make a difference by sharing the love of Christ with others. Help us, O God, this week, even as we pray for global workers, to have a vision for what it is that you would accomplish amongst us. And God, we pray not for a small vision, but for a large one that requires faith amongst us, O God. Lord, we get excited when we see what can be done through you. And so, Lord, we ask that those mountains would move in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, that we would be able to be light in dark places around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. And as people said, amen. God bless you, everybody. This coming Sunday, Darcy McAllister is going to be speaking as we carry on with our global missions.